commentary as to who wrote it and what context. Everyone just says basically the same exact thing. This is a continuation. The continuation of the Bnei Korach. The Bnei Korach, who everything that was on the Hadama to Mizma Membeis is ditto. Same thing, Lamatzech Maskil Livnei Korach. It is the children of Bnei Korach. They are giving over prophecy regarding their experience as to Golus, the Golus of Klal Yisrael throughout the ages. And it is encompassing all the different facets of Golus. And here they continue in a new mizmor, which is seemingly just another paragraph of this discussion. Shofteni Elokim, Hashem, judge me, v'riva rivi, and take up my cause, migoy loy chosid, from a nation that is not pious. Who are we referring to? We will see in a moment. Me'ish mirma v'avla, from a man who was mirma, full of deceit v'avla, and wrongdoing, sifaliteni, rescue me. When you say an ish, May ish, you obviously, if you're talking about Golus, who are we referring to? The ish, either Muhammad or Yashka, right? Isn't that pretty obvious? Why? Because they were the two people who led a movement that today there are, each one has approximately 1 billion members. There are 1 billion people today who identify with Christianity and 1 billion people today who identify with Islam. And who in their religion is their idol? Yashka? What?
That is Islam. Where do you estimate? You just did 8 billion.
No, that's the world society.
In the world.
In the world, right. And Muhammad. These are people who are, you know, the leaders of their religion, who they study their words, and has only led to bloodshed and terrible suffering for the Jewish people. Or maybe you want to say refers to Alexander the Great. If you want to go look at each Golus before today, Alexander the Great is long gone. Alexander Mok, and I was spending some time yesterday learning about Hanukkah, the history of Hanukkah. History of Hanukkah is very shocking. It's not what they teach you in Yeshiva Katana.
No, not at all.
Not at all. It's actually what's so shocking is why they actually made a holiday. Because this event that happened of taking back the Beis HaMikdash and the Mitar was a very short-lived period. It was only at most 2 years when they had control. The Maccabees, the Hashmonaim, the five brothers, the wars went on for years.
40 years.
And it was horrible, horrible, horrible from beginning to end. And it's just not to be believed what really went on. And they don't teach,
at one point they expanded the borders to Israel to its original state.
Original state, but there was always issues.
Even more.
Always conspiracies, always fighting, internal fighting, external fighting, the division among the empire, Alexander's empire, and it's just... It's a maze. The Misyavnim and forced conversions. The Maccabees had a policy which brought them at odds with Chazal. With the Maccabees, when they conquered a territory in Eretz Yisrael, they would force the people who lived there to convert to Judaism against their will. And the Chachamim were very upset. There's no such thing as forcing people to convert to Yahdis against their will. And these people who they converted, some of them came back to haunt the Jewish people. It was a very difficult time, extremely difficult time. And one moment of light in this time was the story of Hanukkah. Now, in this period of time, who is the source of all this trouble? One person, Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, when he died, he was a wicked person, but he created a movement that brought about in his wake a division in his malchus, I can't even pronounce all different factions. There were many different factions, and when you talk about an ish mirma va'avla sifalateni, again this entire mizmor is describing the period.
The Seleucid
and the Ptolemy. The Seleucid, right? That was later. The Seleucid, there was a major war between the Seleucid element of Greece and the Ptolemaic. portion. They were fighting at each other, and they were using Eretz Yisrael as a wedge. The Eretz Yisrael, they were constantly trying to gain loyalty from the Jews to be on their side in fighting against the other side. So there was a division, a very, very great civil war going on among Macedon, among the Yershim of Alexander. Arbel Wine, I was reading very, very, very fast, and he points out that Chazal never, ever referred to Alexander as the great. He wasn't great, Alexander. He was wicked.
Okay, they didn't give him the title, but there were many...
In the world, Alexander Mokdon. Of course, many inches, but in the world...
Yeah, where they don't actually put him down.
They don't put him up, that's for sure. They don't say anything good about him.
Okay.
Shimon HaTzadik,
that's with him. One. But there are things about his travels and...
He conquered the whole world. He conquered the whole world. And in the eyes of the world, the secular world, he was a god. And he's called, obviously, Alexander the Great. Okay, any history book, secular history book, his title is Alexander the Great. Chazal, in their extensive writings, and the Midrashim, and numerous Memori Chazal, never, ever call him the Great. They call him Alexander Mokdon. There is no Macedonia. They don't refer to him as the Great. But they don't. But they never call him the Great. It's well.
Of course they do, but that other title is also
good. Interesting. So it's not even used by the guy. So you see over here in Ish Mirmav Avla Sifal Latani. Who is this Ish? Who is this Ish? Is it the Nebuchadnezzar? If we're dealing over here with Golas Bavel, then the Ish would be in the Nebuchadnezzar. If you're dealing with the Golas of Yavan, then the Ish is clearly Alexander. Now, even though Alexander was long gone, he died a very short life.
Right.
But he created a Malchus that spanned the entire world, and his Yershim were killing each other for the rest of their existence to have control. But he's the one who put into motion the horrors of what the Jews experienced of Hellenism. Hellenism.
Didn't his mom the horse when he met the
Kohen? Shimon HaTzadik.
Yeah.
Shimon, after he conquered the entire world, he came to finish up, to conquer Yerushalayim, and Shimon HaTzadik went out dressed in the Big Day Kahuna, in the Big the Kohen Gadol. He was the Kohen Gadol for 40 years. Shimon is 40 years, or I always forget, 40 years or 80 years?
80.
80 years?
80 years.
80 years. Mm-hmm. And Shimon HaTzadik went and he went out to greet him, and Alexander the Great got off his horse and he bowed before Shimon HaTzadik. Mm-hmm. And his officers, his men, were utterly shocked. This is the man who was, in their eyes, was a god, conquered the entire world. Why in the world would you bow before a Jew? And he told them that I saw that whenever I go to battle, I see the image of this person in front of me, fighting for me and conquering for me. And he's a godly man, and therefore he bowed before him. And in his honor, he did not destroy Yerushalayim. Golok Shama, he did not destroy Yerushalayim in exchange for two things. Number one, from then on in, children would name people. Parents would name their children Alexander. And that's what Alexander has entered into, the names that are very common amongst Jews. In fact, there's a Hasidus called Alexander Hasidim.
Right.
Alexander Hasidim were the biggest group of Hasidim before World War II, the biggest by far. And they were completely decimated, wiped out by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam v'Zichram. The Alexander Hasidim suffered more than any other group of Hasidim. They were the largest, that they say, and they suffered the greatest losses.
Where did they live?
Poland.
Yeah, they live. Yeah. Okay, so the second thing was Minyan Hashtaris, is that from the time when Alexander, from then on in, Jews would date their documents, their religious documents, from the date when Alexander rose to Malchus, when his Malchus began, called Minyan Hashtaris. And this calculation of dating your documents remained for a very long period of time.
They have documents that are dated into the 1800s.
Even that's the Minyan Shtaris. a new way of calculating time. You go to a wedding, you would say it's now 734 years from the rise of Alexander. Now that technique, what he did in hindsight, was extremely damaging to Klal Yisrael. Chazal said that when he introduced it, when people started calling their children Alexander, so they said, why only Alexander? Once we'll use this secular name, let's use other secular names. And a whole collection of secular names started to filter, enter into the Jewish people, which was the influence of the lifestyle of Yavon. And, yeah?
I was thinking there are probably as many Jews named Philip as there are named Alexander. And Philip was the father of Alexander.
That's right. Philip was the father of Alexander. He died very young. He died also very mysteriously, very young. He was even...
The Jewish name, you know, you associate Irving with Jews, but that was because they were trying to use Goyish names to make themselves Goyish. Irving originated with Washington Irving. That's why he was very popular at the time, and that's where Irving became.
It's not a generational cycle.
Yeah, right.
So what's interesting over here is that in all of the Goliaths, if this Mizmar is referring to Golas, every Golas has a name. The Golas is a person that is a leader of that Golas that is the cause of great harm. Parasumadai, obviously it's Haman. In Golas Bavel, it's Nebuchadnezzar. In the Golas of Yavon, it is Alexander the Great. He himself was not necessarily alive when all the damage, much of the damage occurred, but he put into motion all of the harm. Golus Edoim, I think it's fair to say, it's a little bit later, but Yoshka, Yeshua, he was obviously in Golus Edoim, there's a religious element of Golus Edoim, which really came about a little bit later. Rome wasn't originally religious, but there is obviously buried deep down inside, there is this jealousy or these issues, and he's the Ish. So when you say Ish and you want to identify over here an Ish Mirma of Avla Sifalitani, who is the Ish? You have to put yourself in the shoes of the people living in a particular era, and each one of them will tell each one, and the Ish that you're going to be referring to is the person who is the leader of that difficult period of time where they are gezeirus against Klal Yisrael. What's very interesting over here, I saw the word Ish. Obviously, look at the trap under the Aleph, in the Mincha Shai on page 389, something very strange. I don't know who this person is. This person is HaChacham Lon Zonoi. If you look in Pasuk Aleph, again, page 389, in the Mincha Shai, Me'ish Mirma, B'miksas Sefarim, B'tam Echad Levad Be'Aleph, which means that the trop is under the Aleph. Me'ish, the Mem is a prefix. You don't emphasize the Mem. Right. You emphasize the Aleph because an Ish. Ish is a man. And we're dealing with a particular man who are not telling us who this person is. Okay, either you want to say it's the collective noun referring to the nation, or you want to say it refers to the specific villain of each of the Dalmalchios. Uvimiksasam b'mem. Some editions have the trup, not the way we have it, under the mem. V'yeshram b'shnei ta'amim. V'achacham lon zonoi. I don't know who this chacham lon zonoi. Kosav shehu mila'el, which means it should be meish. Meish means under the mem, and that would, it's, I don't know what this means, that would mean that the word here meish does not mean a man. We look at the word meish, the mem is a prefix, and the word is ish, a human being, a man, and meish from, the mem is a prefix, from a man who is deceitful. However, from the fact that there are other...
Before that, it says Negoi.
Also, no one argues. See, there's no comment. There's no comment that the mem of migoi is a prefix, a nation. A goi is a nation. The mem is a prefix from a nation. Then it comes to meish. So the way we have in our text is from a man. A man, every nation has a leader who makes decisions which can be very damaging and painful for us. But according to this other girsa, other tradition, the trup it should not be under the aleph, it should be under the mem. And that means that this does not mean a man. It's meish, meish. What is meish? I don't know.
Could it be like from yeush?
Yeush, I mean giving up hope? Yeush is saying very good. Migoy loy chasid, meish mirma. From meish, he's saying meish means very good. So this is what we learned.
It's a verb. It's not a noun.
Right. Meish means to give up hope. Yeah, nechanami. He's saying something very good. Mechol. He's saying yeush. Giving up hope.
Someone who causes yeush.
Someone who causes. This thing is making this.
And that's what I was thinking, but I can't see it because the yeush has two yuds to be meyayish.
Be meyayish. Right. So. Okay, I don't know. Obviously, this is not our girsa. Our girsa is meish.
Yeah, it's not that kind.
But it is something interesting to take note of, that there's another girsa, and it's a nuance of where you put the trop, and that means it's a different word. And meish, as Ramachol and Ramayevsky is pointing out, there's another word of yeush. Yeush means to give up, and indeed, this is a very true reality of Golas, is to give up, is things get so bad, things are so difficult, and you just have no will to go on. And David then will be praying, if that's what it means, that meyish.
It's
far-fetched.
Yeah, it's a stretch.
It's a stretch. But you have to explain, this chachom. Chachom lon zonai. Who is he? Who is lon zonai? We have to go to the fact checkers. Mayor Appledorf, I'm sure right now, is working his fingers on the little device here, as you can see. He's trying to figure out who is the Chacham Loin Zonoi. Who is he? And if he was here today, what would he explain? How would he explain the pshat in this pasuk? Just an observation. Let's go further. Okay, so therefore, so far, we have to deal with Golas. And in Golas, we have four different Golios, the Dal Malchus, and each of Dal Malchus is a Goy. And then in the Goy, there's also an Ish, the person that's responsible, accountability. This is a very big important principle when you deal with any situation in life. Who is responsible? You have to always be able to identify. I learned this lesson, you call up someone for service. Always ask the person who's on the phone with you, what is your name? What is your name? Tell me your name. You have in certain situations, you have a badge number. Do you have... When a person right away knows that he's just not an anonymous person, you call for service. Come, you know, you call someone in some official in Social Security office. You call for service. What's your name? That means you're gonna go, and if there's a problem, you're gonna call back, and you're gonna make an investigation. You're gonna tell this is the name of the person who spoke to me, and this is what he told me, and therefore there has to be accountability. And when there's accountability, all of a sudden, it's a different ballgame. When you're just a big, anonymous person out there and no one wants to take responsibility, and it's just, you know, a policy. I know someone who, you know, they're dealing with very difficult situations, and they get these messages from the company, you got to do A, B, C, D, and if not, you're in trouble. And excuse me, I don't want to do this. Who do I speak to? Who, give me a name of a person. There has to be some accountability. And there's no accountability, then it's impossible. This pasuk is a very powerful limud musar. The Dal Malchus. In the Dal Malchus, it's not, oh, there's a goy. Bavel, Yavon, Paras, Modai, Edoi. No. There's accountability. There's an ish. In every era of Golos, there's a person that has to be held accountable for the horrors that are taking place. Okay, it started, of course, in Yavon Alexander. But then there's a whole collection, a whole cast of characters, people who are the Yershim, who continue in the legacy of Alexander and Philip before him and Vahulu Vahulu, and they have to be held accountable. In Yavon, you're dealing with Golus Edom, you know, there's a leader. There's every state today, every state today has a head of state. And policies and acts of cruelty to Jews or to humanity you know, you're responsible. There's a governor, there's a mayor, someone, it's not just, oh, this is a country, a freak, this is the country, in the country there are certain rules and norms. No, there are people who make decisions and are responsible, and they have to be held accountable to some rule and some set of justice. Don't make a mistake and just let people get away and say, oh, it's part of the world. Migoy loy chosid, that's number one. There's a nation, and there's me'ish. In the nation, there's accountability to the person, an individual. Focus in on the leader, the one who signed off on this policy. Who is the one that made this decision?
Interesting that he says lo chosid. Usually he is very harsh.
It's a loy chosid. Loy chosid, he's a tzaddik, not a chosid. I hear. He's a litvak. He's a litvak. He's not a chosid. He's a svardi. What? He's a svardi, not a chosid.
Chosid was a litvak.
Yes. Rav Yehuda, chosid was a litvak. But you know, talking to our generation, loy chosid from the litvish oil. Save me from the litvaks. David is saying, save me from the kaltel litvaks. David says, chosid ani. David says, shomer nafshi ki chosid ani. Memela, save me from the goy loy chosid. Save me from the litvish oil.
It's a goy loy chosid, not a person. It's coming from a nation.
A nation that's loy chosid. Meish mirma viavla sifalateni. Pasuk beis. Ki ato elokei meuzi, because you Hashem, you are the God of my strength. Meuzi lama zinachtoni. That's not such a common word to reject me. The word zinachtoni literally means rejection. Look at the mitsudois, the mitsudois tzion. Zinachtoni inyan aziva, to abandon. Like, I didn't say correctly. He says abandon. I thought it meant to be rejected. It's a very big difference between being rejected and being abandoned. Lama koider eshalech. We had this yesterday. Why do I walk in darkness? Belachatz oyev, due to the oppression of the enemy. Really, really has something very similar. Something very similar. Oh. Menachem is here. Baruch Hashem, be back. We had this. If you go back, yes, they pasuk yud. No, there's a lot of repetition. Mizmar membeis pasuk yud is come out the same thing. Lama shechachtani. There it says. Lama. Look at the difference. There it says. Lama shechachtani. Why did you forget me? Lama koider elich belachatz oyev. Came out exactly the same thing, but here it's lama zinachtani. Why did you abandon me? Lama koder eshalech belachatz oyev, came out the same exact words. The only difference is only there are the beginning of the pasuk. Oh, there it begins oimrel lekel sali, and here it begins with ki ata elokei mauzi. Okay, these are two differences. Are we discussing a different galus? And we discussed them. The Rashi yesterday, we discussed that. The Rashi yesterday said that in the Mizmor Mem Beis, it says three times the word Tishtoichach or Tishtoichachi, referring to three of the Golios. And here we have another Mizmor, which is a continuation. And here we have a post that's extremely similar with a few little two differences. The word Zenachtoni, to abandon instead of forgetting, and the beginning of the expression. Okay, one more pasuk, Shalach Orchav Amitcha. Send forth your light and your truth. Many perishim as to what is the significance of these two words. We'll see. Hema yanchuni, they will give me yanchuni, give me comfort. You know, let's do the entire mizmar. Yiviuni el har kodshecha, yiviuni, you will bring me. Yiviuni, you will bring me in the future el har kodshecha, to your holy mountain. V'el mishkan osef, to your dwelling place. V'avoya, I will come. El mizbach elokim, el kel, to Hashem simchas gili. The joy of my joy. Repetition. Simcha Gili, the Malbim says, you know, Gili refers to a sudden burst of joy, and a Simcha is a sustained, a joy that is like a scientific joy. There's a process. Gili is a sudden burst. The Oidechai, I'll praise you, B'chinor Elokim Elokai, with the harp of Hashem, my God. Then David repeats this thing one more time. Ma tishtoi chachi nafshi uma tehemi oloi. The same thing we had yesterday. He says to his neshama, why are you, my neshama, depressed? Why are you downtrodden? Why are you crying out in despair, in with turmoil, with a state of chaos? Why is there this cry? Have hope, patience, wait, have hope for Hashem. Ki ododenu Yeshua's ponai velokai. Same thing like yesterday. Imam, there's an incredible repetition over here, and this has to be understood, which unfortunately I do not know. So let's now see the mitzudos. Go through very quickly the mitzudos of the entire mizmor. Mizmor mem gimel. Shafteini. David over here says, Hashem, David says to Hashem, judge me, shafait mishpati linkoim dikmasil. Yeshua means over here, there should be mishpat. Hashem, you be the judge. Look at what the Goyim have done to us, and take up our cause, and judge them for what they have done. Me'ish, mikol ish mirma. You see how he dampens what I tried to say. I was trying to tell you, drush. Me'ish means the leader of the nation. The leader of the nation is the one that bears the full responsibility for all the policies that are harmful for the Jewish people. Hitler, yimach shmo v'zichro. Eichmann. Okay, all the henchmen, all of the people, all the people, the people make decisions. So he says, Me'ish means every person, every single Nazi, every single citizen who turned their back, looked the other way, did not make a macha, and allowed this to happen. You know, last week's Rashi is a very powerful Rashi in last week's Parsha, where it says by Sodom that they all gathered when Lot took in people into the two malachim into his home, and the people got wind of what was going on, and they all gathered. Minar v'adzokein kol ha'om mikotze. Rashi comments on this verbosity. What does it mean? Kol ha'om mikotze. There wasn't even one person in the entire city of Sodom who made a macha. They made a protest, allowed this to happen. In the news this last week, there's been a lot of criticism against Rabbanim who, not criticism, but a lot of, look in the papers and these blogs. Look, all the Rabbanim were wrong. They were so wrong to go and to promote Zeldin, to promote a Republican governor. They're wrong now, Grois et Saris now. The governor is going to take revenge, and all of the whole chevra, they're all going to take revenge, and everyone really, in hindsight, had we known, we should have just voted for who will be the winner, and that way we can suck out some more money from the government for more government programs, and listen, I'm not a person who is a bar dea, but there were many rabbanim. They even interviewed a Reisman, and he said, I have no charata, and pretty much from my assessment of all the Rabbanim who have commented and said we have no charata, what in essence they're saying is, read what it says in the parasha, this last week's parasha, minar v'yadzokein kol ha'om mikotze. What's going to happen? Let's say Rachmana Litzlan, there's incredible crime going on in the city, incredible crime. Let's say Rachmana Litzlan, a person is, something happens. So what are you going to say? You're going to say, you voted for these policies, more of the same, let crime continue. The very least is to vote. You vote, at least you made a macha. There's nothing you can do about it anyway. At least a vote or a rav to go and promote a certain candidate publicly, at least make a macha. Okay, you're going to win? No, you're not going to win. So you should go and you should curry favor with the new parties. Is that morally correct when there are policies that are very harmful for Yiddishkeit, and you don't make a macha? There's something called making a macha. Kol ha'om mikotze. There was a complaint against the people of Sodom. The people of Sodom, they couldn't do anything anyway, but no one made a macha. To be quiet, that's not an answer, and that's not an answer either. There has to be a degree of macha. And here David says,
the Torah,
here
the Torah in Vayishlach with the Maisadina gives that exact explanation when it says Vinesfu Alai Vikuni Vinishmarati Ani Uvesi. The last pasuk in the story is Vayomru Hakzono Yaseh Sachoseinu. You can't let it go. You have to do something. You touch a Jew, there's got to be a price.
It's very famous. Rabbi Nachum Zemba in the Warsaw ghetto, he told them to fight to the death. Don't just go like sheep. Don't go like sheep. Fight to the death. So it's too much for us. here to just to sit back and vote for things that are not in our best interest, so we should be on the winning side. Even that you can't do. Even to vote to make a macha, that you can't do. I mean, it's bizarre that people they criticize. You should have voted for the other side, the winner. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
It also shows that on the local level we do have a voice and a power.
That's what a macha is. Isn't that what a macha is?
More than that, because now they see that the Jewish community has a strong
opinion. So isn't that what a macha is?
That's
what a macha is. That is the taich of a macha. Call ha'ami kotzeh. Just to go like sheep. Okay, but you know, definitely. But in any event, a lot of Rabbanim, Rabbi Reisman, he was very powerful. He says, no charata, chas v'shalom, no charata. And Rabbi Reisman's voice really captures the sentiment of, I think, the vast majority of the Rabbanim. I can't say everyone. Everyone has their opinion. It's America, you know, politics. You're entitled to your opinion in America. Free speech. But me'ish, so over here it says, mikol ish. The reason why I mention is because over here the Rashi in the Mitzvah says, now what I tried to say, the Ish refers to the leader. But Rashi over here says, Ish means every single citizen. Every single citizen is held accountable for their macho.
The reason the Torah says that old pasuk is to offset what Abraham was begging, 40, so God wanted to
not even one person
to tell us that there wasn't anybody,
even one person make a macha.
There wasn't anybody that stayed home and didn't protest.
Mikolish, every Rashi over here says, Mitzus, every single citizen in the country will be held accountable for the crimes of that country against Klal Yisrael, and for that matter, against anyone that they harm. Pasik Beis, Lama Zenachtani, why did you abandon me? Lama azavtani biyahu umayis in the nations of Lama elich b'choshech b'avur lachatzai. Why do I go walk in darkness against the oppression of the enemy? Pasagimul shlach orcha v'amitcha ritzon elomar ha'er li v'hameis hav tochoscha lohavi oisi el harakot shecha. Enlighten me. All the mafarshim they're going to means referring to Mashiach. Okay, when we get there, not get there yet. But over here, the Mitzvah says simply, enlighten me. And the truth, is you made a promise. You made a promise to Avraham Avinu. You made a promise to the Avos that you will redeem us. You will bring us to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, enlighten me and bring the Geula, bring the redemption. Next Mitzvah is started on the next page, which is 391. On the bottom, very little, it says there, Simchas Gili, Hamesamech Oisi Begila Verina, you will cause me joy. Pasekei, David says to his neshama, calm down. Ki'ilu yachso shuv l'nachim nafshoi, David is coming to give comfort to his neshama. V'yomelo matesh toichachi, nafshi, why are you so downtrodden? Let's go to Rashi. Rashi, Pasekei, back on page 388. Rashi, Shofteini, Nik, Nok, Meini, revenge. This is a very important thing. There's a lot of Jews, sometimes get the impression that Klal Yisrael, let us live. You know, it's not our business to go take the criminals' Nuremberg trials. Okay, so some people will say, you know, it's not our business. It's not our business. Let Hashem take care of the next world of the Rishoyim, as long as the Rishoyim are out of the way. Not so. You see, over and over again in Chazal is that there's something called Nekama. There is something called Nekama. Someone does something harm, someone causes you pain. That person has to be held accountable. Accountability. There is something called accountability, not amnesty. Okay? Amnesty. A lot of things going on in this country in the last 2 years. You know, we tried our best. Don't hold us accountable. You know, it was a sakonis nefashis. It was going on. And therefore, we're entitled to make mistakes. And no questions asked. That's a very powerful movement in government. We tried hard to help everyone. Sakonis nefashis, what went on, millions of people died all over the world and in this country, and we had to make tough decisions, and mashahoya kvar hoya, and let's go weiter. And there are other people that say that's true, you did, we'll give you slack for you know what, but there's still accountability. There still has to be a cheshbon hanefesh. Of course, you have to make tough decisions and you're entitled to a lot of slack and a lot of people make mistakes, of course, like anyone else. But what is hefkeros? A total hefkeros. Total hefkeros. What? Well, that's the question. The question is, there has to be there's something called emergency powers. There's something called, you know, it's sakonis nefashis. But where is the balance? Where is the balance? Don't ever... Exactly. There is something called nekama. Don't make any mistake about it. There's something called nekama. All these stories I tell you all the time. The people they were liberated when the Americans or the British, they liberated the Jews from the concentration camps. There's so many stories. So what do? So many, many times the Americans or the British, they gave weapons to the inmates and they said, here, they are the Nazis. Do whatever you want. Do whatever you want to them. We're going to walk away. You do whatever you want. And some people, Taka, they kill them.
Some of them disguise, they put on the
clothing, they're big fat behemoths, and they put on the clothing. The Jews were skeletons, and these big fat beasts. Yeah, they're making believe that they're inmates. Yeah, you wish, right? And it's very interesting. There are some that didn't that Taka they killed them, they tortured them, and there were many people that said no, it's not what we do, and they just walked away, and they said leave it to Hashem. So who's right? Who's wrong? You saw a Nazi murder your family, murder your friend, torture you, insult you. Ayei Elokecha, and now's your chance. You can shoot him in the head. You can kill him. And you're granted free reign. Who's right? What do you do? I don't know. There are different opinions. This is a debate that goes on forever. But don't forget, you can't say about the people who took revenge they were wrong. That you can't say.
By Esther, didn't the phrases for 2 days
that
they let you do whatever?
They let you. So in Achnami, they did kill 500 people. They did kill the Aseres of the Haman. They did. I mean, even though the numbers were a far cry, or nothing compared to what would have been the other way around, but a person that chooses to take revenge, who says he's wrong? There is a principle in Judaism called Shofteini. Rashi says, Nokmeini. Okay, a lot of these Holocaust stories, they glorify the people who did not take revenge. Why do you glorify them? Just let it be. Don't even talk about it. Let it be. I mean, how could, you know, this is whatever it is. There is.
You see that they were right in killing whoever they did kill. Because the generation that was left after, they still hate the Jews.
Yeah.
They still come and
Lasikim be'einechem ulitzninim b'tzideichem. The Pasuk says, wipe out every last living creature of the Canaanim, because if you don't, they're going to be in your eyes, thorns in your eyes. And they were. So these people that they let, we don't do this, we don't kill people. You saw this beast murder your chaverim. You saw him do the worst things. And now you have a chance, you're liberated. What is the halach? What is Das Torah? I don't know. In a lot of the stories that I've read, I don't read all that much, but the things that I've read, there's sort of a tilt to glorify the people who did nothing. And they said, Hashem, it's Hashem's world, let Hashem. Is that really Das Torah? I don't know. You need who can tell us the answer to these questions? But one thing is for sure, anyone who decided that these people have to go and they kill them, they have quite a lot to rely upon. Shavteini is Nokmeini Migoy Loi Chasid Hu Edoim Shagor Esa Ben Shnei Tzadikim. Over here, this is a very powerful Chazal, and in fact, there's another Chazal that's called by the Chaim HaSana, by the Chidah. We'll read soon, and you know, everything is rooted in the Torah and Chamishe Chumshe Torah, all the roots. There's a very great complaint against Esav. Many complaints. Esav is the Shoresh of Golus Edoim. And in Golus Edom, we go back to the Shoreshim. Esav lived, he saw Avraham Avinu, he saw Yitzchak, he saw them, he witnessed them, he lived with them, he grew up on their lap, and yet he went out and decided to go out L'tar Busra, to do the worst Averis, Avodah Zarah Gilei Rais, to live L'tar Busra. There is an enormous complaint against him. He went off the Derech. There is no one who went off the Derech more than Esav.
Esav saw the real deal. He saw Avraham Avinu, he saw Yitzhak, he saw them together.
Right.
He saw them together. No, there's a 15-year overlap.
Right.
Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. If you can go back in time to any time period in the history of the world, when would you want to go back? So Mary would say, I would go back, he left the room. You go back to Adam and Chava, you try to convince them, maybe it's not such a good idea to eat from the apple. When would you go back? Or if you couldn't go back that far, you go back to Noach, see what it was like in the Teva. If I'll go back to the Teva, the lion would eat me up. For sure. But where would you go back? So some people will tell you, I want to go back those 15 years when you walk down the streets, there's Avraham, there's Yitzchak, and there's Yaakov. There was a 15-year period where Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov overlapped. And who lived in that period? Esav. Esav lived with his brother, Yaakov. He lived with his brother, lived with his father, Yitzchak. He lived with his grandfather. What?
Yishmael,
is there a complaint against him? He was sent away, Yishmael, Yishmael. You're right, you're saying good.
I don't keep in touch with him.
It's true. You're saying a good point. But I hear what you're saying. You're saying good. Yeah, I don't know what you're saying, but you say, look, who Adam Shagar Esav and Shnei Tzadikim V'Lam Nasem.
The person that they mentioned when it says seven people span the world, that was Shame, saw all the others also.
Shame also saw all the others.
And Shame saw Avram Yitzhak and Yaakov. That if you do the math of his life,
he saw everyone.
He saw everything. Yaakov was in his 50s when Shame died.
Look at the Chida on page 389. Look at the Chida on page 389. 389 in the Chumash Anoch, the last line on the right side. On the last line, Migoy loy chosid me Esav loy chosid v'loy lomad me Avraham me ish mirma v'loy lomad me Yitzchak v'avla v'loy lomad me Yaakov v'dor ben shloisha tzadikim. You see, the Chida has a different gears, has a different medrash, that Esav lived amongst three great people. Three tzaddikim, he lived during that 15-year period of time also, besides the fact that he lived during that, even when they were all together, the chut ha-meshulash. Okay, they lived, we have this famous chazal that lo yimushu mipicha, mipi zaracha, mipi zeres zaracha, omar Hashem mi'atah ve'alam kol mi shehu talmud chacham, ubenoi talmud chacham, ubenoi talmud chacham. There's a haftacha that the Torah will not disappear from that seed forever. The Torah will not disappear, and Chazal say there's a condition, though. What is the condition? They all have to be living...
Recording in progress.
Okay, the internet went out for a second. They all have to be living at the same time. They're all living at the same time. So therefore, they were all living at the same time. Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, 15 years, and Esav was present. They saw them together. Can you imagine the toikif of sanctity? And v'loy lomad... Miyakov, the door bein shloisha tzadikim, v'lelama mimaseim, v'hifli laharshia, and he did wondrous things in his decision to become wicked. So therefore, there's a very unique complaint against Esav. The Golus of Edom, we're dealing with people here, nothing can change them. Don't think today, we make a mistake, you think that if you sit down with a villain, and you have a beer, with them, you're going to be able to change them. You're not. You're not going to be able to change. You can't even change a Jew. Kol shekein, you can be able to go change. I have a friend, he got very, very hurt. In business, he worked very, very hard, and people that he worked hard and he brought into the business, they rose up against him, and they rebelled against him. They fired him pretty much. They rose up against him. And like he told me afterwards, he says to me, I made a mistake. I trusted people too much. I thought, I took people in, I knew they were problematic. I thought, you know, give them a nice salary, give them some benefits, make them happy. All their issues, their baggage will go away. And I learned, so he told me, Petty, I learned the hard way. You really can't change people. That they are what they are. And if someone comes in with bad midos, there's nothing that's going to change. And you're dealing with Esav, Goyim, Edom. This is a powerful limud. what we think today, we're gonna sit down at the table with the leader of Edom, the leaders of Edom, okay, all the different facets, dimensions of Edom. Who is Edom? I don't know. The whole world is Edom. You're gonna sit down with the United Nations, okay? The United Nations today is Edom. They're all just one conglomerate of Edom. And we, the state of Israel, the Jewish people, we're gonna talk with them with kindness, and we're gonna show them the ways of Hashem, and we're gonna do chesed and honesty and teach them all of the good midos. What we think we're better than the others. Esav sat Shabbos Suda with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Three of them together. All three together. Don't you think they had Hanukkah? They lit Hanukkah candles together. Esav came to wash my Hanukkah candles. Okay? They had a Suda's Purim. They had Pesach. They all sat the whole night learning Shavuos. What? And after all that, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov together didn't make a dent. Didn't make a dent in Esav. And Esav, after all this, decided to go out, Latar Basra, and to destroy the world. We think today, when we sit down with Edom, you sit in the United Nations with Edom, and you have a conversation with them, and you tell them about Yashrus, and about Emes, and Chesed, and tell them, you know, it's not such a good idea to engage in Avodah Zarah, Shvi Chastamim, and Gil Yarayis. You think we can make a dent in them? We're fools. We're fools. This is Edom. This is the Yisoidais. Halacha b'yadua Esav son of Yaakov. Don't think you can, like Obama, you say, you have a beer. You call them over for a beer. You'll sit down with them. You'll have a beer. You'll have a conversation. It doesn't go like that. It doesn't go like that. Stay away. Stay away. It's not none of this stuff. Be very, very careful. Yeah, on one end, Michal saying the Abraham Accords. You see tremendous. You see, there is a koyach. You're right. You have to, you know, look, America has been Baruch Hashem, Chastei Hashem, been very good to Klal Yisrael, pretty much. So far, take whatever you get. 200 years, not really 200 years for us, but Klal Yisrael has thrived in this country and never had freedom of religion like ever before, okay? And even in the whole world to a certain degree, because the way the modern world is structured. So, you know, you have to count your blessings, but at the end of the day, never forget what Chazal say, Halacha biyadua, Esav sone Yaakov. Watch your back. Watch your back. And don't, you know, I was reading Barrel 1 about the history of Hanukkah and how the Chashmonoim, the five brothers of Matisyahu, they were, on two major occasions, they were fooled by the Seleucid dynasty, and they actually took the bait and they were assassinated. They were killed. They thought they were going to make peace, and they were invited to the palace, and they came there and they were tortured to death. And don't be so trusting and naive to think that they're our friends. You make peace, you have the Abraham Accords, an incredible blessing, really changed. The Biden administration don't know how to deal with it. It's too much for them to deal with this shocking thing that there can actually be potential peace, and it's just too much of a burden to them to acknowledge.
He says Derek Tzachot. He says he makes fun of Gematria in general because he doesn't go with them. I mean, he mentions a few of them through all his Svarim a couple occasionally, but he says in Vayishlah when it says Esav is Gematria Shol. They both add up to 376. So you said, what does that mean? Because he says it in Hebrew, but he's making a reference to English words. He said, what does it mean that Esav is the gematria of peace? I want a piece of this, and I want a piece of this, and I want a piece of everything. I want a piece of everything. So he said, that's his...
In my worthless opinion, the greatest accomplishment of the Trump administration, the greatest thing possible is... the revelation that peace between the Jews and the Arabs is not contingent on peace with the Palestinians. There's nothing to do with one, for since time immemorial, the only way there could be peace in the Middle East between the Jews, and I say Jews, not the Israelis, the Jews and the Arabs, is only the Tanai, it has to come through a solution to the Palestinian problem. the Sheker V'chaz is a revelation to the world. It's an incredible revelation. Ha'iluchud ve'ha'iluchud. They have nothing in common. You can make peace with the Arabs and have nothing to do and still have nothing to do with Natali Zebezeh. That is a revelation that has literally changed the world. Has changed the world, and that is an incredible accomplishment. Incredible accomplishment, which really pretty much goes to Jared Kushner, pretty much, more or less. And a fascinating change in geopolitics, which of course no one's going to talk about, but the reality is just mind-boggling. Going further over here, dealing with Golas, with the Geulas, we have over here this incredible Rashi, and it's a Musar Haskel. Rashi says there were two tzaddikim for some reason, I don't know why the Chida says three, there's some disparity over here between these two. Next, Pasa Gimel, very important, Rashi, Shlach Orcha V'Amitecha. So Rav Mitzudah says very simply, send us into Eretz Yisrael. He says very specific. Melech HaMashiach. Okay, Orcha is a code word for the Melech HaMashiach. La Yehudim Hoysa Oira. They had a taste of Mashiach. Oira. Oira means Mashiach. They didn't have Mashiach Mamish. They had Or. Oysa Oira. Feminine form. Or is Mashiach. Oira. The feminine form is...
Of course, that is in... The symbol of Geula in contrast to the Choshech
of... Of Golas. Correct. Shenidme Leor. Shenemar Arachta Ner Lim Shichi. For my anointed one. And this is awesome what it says. Now, what does it mean, MS? Or is Mashiach. MS is Eliyo HaNavi. The Eliyo HaNavi Hu Amiti, Navi Neman. It gives a whole new meaning this week, this parasha, Bederech MS. In the parasha of Shiduchim, Eliezer said, Hinchani Elokim Bederech MS. Every time it says the word MS, there's a whole new facet, a whole new concept. Everything about Eliyo HaNavi, everything about Eliyo HaNavi is about emes. Shu'amiti Navi Neman. The Mahus, someone wrote a book recently about Eliyo HaNavi, an article published, a big coffee table book, but Eliyo HaNavi went through all the different episodes of Eliyo HaNavi. It gives you a whole new focus. When you focus on Eliyo HaNavi, the focus is emes. Why are there two things? You're talking about Mashiach. Hine onoichi shalech lechem eis Eliyo HaNavi lifnei bo yoyim Hashem ha-godol v'hanoira. Who needs Eliyo HaNavi? Just bring Mashiach. And in fact, there's a big machloikis. Is it really true that Eliyo HaNavi comes before? What do you need Eliyo HaNavi? Bechlal. And why does Eliyo HaNavi have to come before Mashiach? Okay, this is the whole complaint against Lubavitch. Whole complaint against Lubavitch is where is Eliyo HaNavi? If there is a belief that a person today can be the Melech HaMashiach, and he's already here. He's already has arrived. Okay, he has arrived. Here he is. Excuse me, if you're Mashiach, where is Eliyahu?
Right.
This is a common complaint. What? Oh, so he didn't come in a chanami, so it's not a kasha. Well, got stuck, right? He already came. He's out there somewhere. Yeah, there are a lot of answers. But there are people who throw this in, people who have an axe to grind, and they have issues, and they like just to add this into the mix. Excuse me, it's a pasuk. What do you do with the pasuk? You say
that's
the pasuk.
Said to Shabbat Tzvi also.
So where is he in Eis Elyon lifnei bo yoyim Hashem? The big machlekes, we're showing him what the pasuk means. Does it really have to happen? Be'ita, achishana.
At the end of Zos HaBracha, he has a long thing about that. Why Eliyahu?
And then you ask the question, why didn't Eliyahu? Who needs him?
The sequence is before Tchias HaMesim, there's only one person left that is alive who could come back before Tchias HaMesim. Everybody else died. Eliyahu was still alive.
So
therefore, what's...
So you need Eliyahu. Where is Eliyahu? Where is he?
He comes to every bris. You don't see him.
I don't know. I don't see him. I'm Baruch Abba.
He's seen it already thousands of years.
Okay. All right, so there are many answers. There are all different types of answers, but it touches upon a more basic question. Who needs him? Who needs him altogether? Bring Mashiach. We don't need competition. It's enough. We have a Mashiach ben David, a Mashiach ben Yosef. Who needs Eliyahu altogether? How come there's only one Eliyahu? There's two Mashiachim. Mashiach ben Yosef?
When a king arrives somewhere, he has to have an advance party.
So the advance party is Eliyahu. But the rules of Mashiach, we have two Mashiachim. So how come we don't have a double Eliyahu? There's an Eliyahu that will come before Mashiach ben Yosef, and an Eliyahu that will come before Mashiach ben David. How come there's only one Eliyahu and two Mashiachim? And who needs them all together, Eliyahu HaNavi? You need too complicated for me. Just bring Mashiach and solve all the world's problems. What's going on? The answer is this: Rashi opens up a whole new dimension of understanding of why Eliyahu, there's only one Eliyahu. Eliyahu represents the concept of emes. Okay, the Chazal say, Alma, we live in an Alma de Shikra, a world of Sheker. Everything is not what it seems. Everything is Sheker, Sheker, Sheker. It's not for nothing that we're living now in Ikvas of the Mashiach, and like never before in the history of the world, is it a hot topic, misinformation. Or disinformation. Misinformation, disinformation.
One is Bishogig, the other is Mabez.
And then there is censorship and cancellation. Why? Sheker, Sheker, Sheker. And then the response is, you're calling us Sheker? you're the spitz of Sheker. The whole world today is obsessed with define Sheker and Emes. Haloi Davar. This is a tekufa. Hine anochi shalech lachem eis Eliyahu HaNavi. We're holding before Mashiach. Mashiach didn't come yet, the best that I know. We're holding before Mashiach is, and before Mashiach comes, we need Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu. What is Eliyahu all about? What do we need him for? What is he going to do? Why Eliyahu? Why not Chavakuk? Why not Tzefanya? The Rambam says you shouldn't delve into this because we don't know what's with this whole thing. To us doesn't make any, I have no clue what this means anyway. But just a pasuk. What is Eliyahu? Why not Zephaniah? Why not Chavakuk? Why not Nachum? You know who Nachum is? What? Nachum Amodi. Yep. Oimer.
The only Navi that everybody has heard of is Eliyahu.
What's this about? Why Eliyahu? Today we learned the answer. We learned an incredible, and oh, everyone on the page here says this. They all go to town with this. Eliyahu, I never heard this idea before until yesterday. Eliyahu HaNavi, the Mahus, the essence of Eliyahu is Emes. His PhD, he got a PhD in Emes. The Eliyahu HaNavi represents the principle of truth. And in order for Mashiach to come, Mashiach will come. Who says he's a Mashiach? He's a Mashiach Sheker. Isn't that the Mashiach Shabsai Tzvi? Oh, so, but what? Oh, there has to be a tool. There has to be a way to measure, to define emes. And then when Mashiach will come, oh, it's emes. Taka, it's the real Mashiach. How many times have we been fooled with the Mashiach Sheker? Shabsai Tzvi, and I don't know the history. There's a whole collection of people. Whole long, fascinating collection of people who fooled a lot of people into a lot of crazy things. And it's not for nothing today that we're living in a world like never ever in the history of the world is there an obsession. Obsession with defining MS. Defining MS, Elon Musk in the acquisition of Twitter and the response of the White House, the Pachad, we're going to investigate if this is illegal. What kind of business, the legal takeover of Twitter, the Pachad, how could it be someone's going to control the flow of information to the world? What's going to be called MS, not MS? It's amazing. It's mamish amazing how things how governments, how the world is obsessed on a global level with the control of information. Because information is defines what MS and Sheker. What is MS, what is Sheker? And you know, it's not so easy. It's not so easy. Sometimes, you know, you think something is MS, and you really go along with it for a long time, then you realize, you know, there's another side to the story. There's another side. define what people believe. The mass is just because the masses believe in certain thing. Is that really accurate? MS and Sheker. Okay, it's an incredible thing. And here Rashi is Megale, before Mashiach will come, there has to be in this world an appreciation and a way to measure accurately fact checkers with a system that the world will accept. The world will acknowledge MS Sheker, and then there can be Mashiach. There's only one Elio. You know why? Even though there are two Mashiachim, there's only one Elio because there's only one MS. There's only one MS. There's not an MS for Mashiach ben David or an MS for Mashiach ben Yosef. MS is MS. There's only one MS. MS is Hashem's signature. Choysomoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Hashem is one. There's only one MS. Memela, there has. There's only one MS, one Eliyahu before there can be a Mashiach, whether it's Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. There can be, every generation has its shtickle Mashiach. And here he writes over here, David is pleading Hashem, send Orcha, the Mashiach, and Va'amiticha Eliyahu, the one that is Megala, the MS. It is interesting that here the order is reversed. If you're going to learn like Chazal that said the word Amitcha refers to Eliyahu, so you would think first should be the MS and then should be the Or. But yet it doesn't, it goes in the reverse order. Okay, so this is an interesting question of I mean, the order L'chor should be first MS Eliyahu and then Mashiach. Okay, traditionally Chofetz Chaim didn't seem to be concerned. You don't hear stories of the Chofetz Chaim wondering about where is Eliyahu HaNavi. The Chofetz Chaim sat with his pekel, with his suitcase, waiting Mashiach. You never heard of the Chofetz Chaim, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, waiting for Eliyahu HaNavi to come lifnei Mashiach. Okay, so you can't have any complaints against Chabad, who are not too concerned about Eliyahu HaNavi. They're concerned about Mashiach, the Chofetz Chaim. There are a lot of stories. The Chofetz Chaim didn't seem to be concerned about the order, what it says, Lefnei Bo Yom Hashem. And this pasuk is support that the order is not Ma'akev. There's first Orcha, is first Mashiach, and then is Va'amiticha. Okay, but obviously, look at the world that we live in today. Ikvasu the Mashiach, we're dealing with Hinei Anich, we're living through this generation, Lefnei. The world is working through the search for MS. Hema Yanchuni, they will give me covered Rashi. They'll give me the, we go now to our world renowned expert in old French, Ramachol Miller.
Yeah. It says they shall lead me.
Ooh, so it doesn't mean to comfort me. Okay, very good. See, I didn't know that.
Like
it doesn't mean... Yanchen,
right?
Means to lead me. Look at the Sifzei Zekenim.
I want to point out something else, though. It's interesting that in the Judaic Press edition, it doesn't say Esau. It says Yishmael.
Ooh, we have another edition?
Yeah, so...
And who are the two tzaddikim?
Let me just read the note here. This reading appears also in the Vilna edition. However, the reading in early manuscripts and all other editions is Edom, as it appears in Sanhedrin 39b. The intention is that Esau lived between two righteous people, Yitzchak and Rivka. See,
that's a Russian. So the two are two people, interesting. So he says
no
two,
doubt,
okay.
Our reading is the result of censorship.
Fascinating. So who are the two people? The Gemara says two. So why did the Chumash Sanach? The Chumash Noch says three. Interesting, Chumash Noch. Rashi says two. Yitzchak and Rivka. And the Chumash Noch says three. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Yidarsh is the pasuk. Yidarsh is a drush. Okay, very interesting. And then you have this. You have the other edition that says Yishmael, which certainly is a result of the censors who were insulted, that they were insulting them, so they put in Yishmael. Very, very interesting. Okay, let's go further in the Rashi. Finish with the Mizmor and the Rashi. Rashi, it says, pasuk Dalid. El Kel, El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simchas Gili. Okay, look in the Malbim. This is a classic Malbim. Look in the Perush HaMilois. He says this many times. Where is it? Give us find where it's on the next page, page 391. We had this already many times to review. We had it many times. 391 in the Be'ur Hamilois, Pasik Dalit, 391, Tefilois David Lehamalbam. Left side, Simchas Gili, Hagil Al Dovar Mischadesh, something new, a new revelation which causes you joy. V'asimcha Hatimidis She Yeshoer Acharese. And Simcha is the a constant, sustained joy that results from good news. Zenikra Simcha, V'simcha Zo Hu Hokel, Shabo Yismach Libenu. When we rejoice, what's called Simchas Torah. Simchas Torah is a sustained joy. It's not just today. The joy of the Torah we take with us throughout the entire year. It's not called the Gilas. Sisu v'simchu v'simchas haTorah kihi lanu oiz v'ora. We take the joy with us throughout the year. It's not just, oh, today we're happy, tomorrow back to work, back to the grind, and forget about this. No, simcha is what remains with you after the burst of joy. Okay, now going back to the Rashi. Rashi says this is the v'otcha b'kinar. That's really the next mizmor. I'll show it to Sanim Yigoldusi. That's the next. I think that's. I'll praise you with a kinar. Where does it say that? But yeah, it's Pasuk Dal. It's part with a kinar. Why a kinar? I don't know, a musical instrument. Al shahut say sani migolusi from my golus. Okay, so this is Mitzus and Rashi. Now we did already the Chumash Hanoch. Let me just see, because I think we're gonna go tomorrow to the next mizmar. Let me just see what else I put down. We did over here the Mincha Shai, this very unusual word of Meish, which some want to suggest over here refers to Yeush. And before we tomorrow move on, let me just look at the first Aleph. The first Chumash Hanoch, he says L'Roshei Tevis. Cute Roshei Tevis, this one. I'm not really into this type of stuff, but this is cute. Shofteni Elokim Riva Rivi. Okay, the letters are Shin, or really to me a Sin. Aleph Vav Resh. Spells Seor. Yeast. What is yeast? The Seor Shebi Isa. Hashem Rosh Etevos Seor. Yisrael Mitach Tzara Ramaz HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hu Ki Hu Boichin Liboisu. That over here we're saying Hashem, Hashem, judge the Yetzirah. It's not our fault. It's not our fault. We have a very difficult situation. We have a Yetzirah which causes us a lot of problems. Okay? And
Esav is also identified with that.
Esav is identified with this, right? He's the Seor Shebi Issa. Okay, there's some Maimer Chazal. No, that's really the next Mizmar. Go to that tomorrow. And let's just look at one more line over here in the philosophim, in the Malbim. Let's look at page 389, Pasuk Aleph. Just do maybe one or two paragraphs and we'll stop. Pasuk Aleph Shofteni. Chelik Shlishi Ato Yispala L'Golos Atzma. Okay, Pasuk Aleph, according to the Malbim, what is the Malbim? It breaks everything up into different parts. Haloi Ro Ki Sishpeteni Elokim V'Sariv Rivi Migoy Lo Chosid. He's saying something very interesting. This nation that he's coming to complain against, they do not do chesed. Migoy loy chosid. She'ein bohem hachono el hachesed klal. It's interesting because many of the Gedolei Yisrael, when they speak about America and they give praise to America, the expression is a medina shel chesed. Okay, and with all of the complaints and problems that we have, you have to also be makir toiv that there is incredible, 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 unprecedented chesed. There is an incredible goal of doing chesed. Okay, and don't, what the agenda is, put that aside. Chesed, the bottom line is, chesed is chesed. So this nation he is describing, okay, is saying not America, because it's saying they have no hachono el hachesed klal. Ki tivam misnagin el chesed, bein adam lachaveroi. And adarabba, there is no chesed, do not do any kindness.
It doesn't mean,
don't do anything lishma.
Okay, this is a very dangerous.
I understand.
Generally, when it comes to tzedakah, there's a rule in Chazal. Don't have big kavanas. Just make sure the poor person has what he needs. You don't have to give. A person comes collecting and he's in the very, you give him a few dollars. Don't sit with kavanas. I'm giving you. The goal in chesed is, does the person have what he needs? Good. It is not so much over here. It says that this nation that we are describing here in these psukim is migoy loy chosid. So what does that mean exactly? You're dealing with some cruel nation like Sodom. Sodom, it was illegal to give charity. There were cameras all over the street. Any chesed, they had cameras. What were the cameras for? Not for crime. To make sure no one gives a poor man a piece of bread. And the Riva, this little girl, who some want to say was the daughter of Lot, supported, gave secretly, surreptitiously some bread to a homeless person, she was tortured to death because she gave, did chesed. So then they have no techuna elaches, he breaks this up to, when it comes to a person's mind, frame of mind, they're mirma v'avla v'heim chafi loisafim. These are the philosophers, Plato, Aristotle. These are the philosophers. The crazy ideas. They have crazy approaches. This was all during the time of the Yavanim. The Yavanim was one. When the Yavanim, they were different. They were different. The different three different branches of philosophy. Three different branches of philosophy. Each one was unique, and all through each one of them was 100% keneged kol haTorah kula. Three different Erlinger Brel one. He describes in detail time of the Yavanim, the development of philosophy. Three schools, completely different approaches to how to live your life, and all of them are totally flawed and the antithesis of what Torah represents. Heim ha-philosophim, ha-me'avlim ha-nechoicha. Okay, I don't know what that means. Who corrupt ha-nechoicha, what is correct? They corrupt, they pervert what is correct. V'chein ha-boinim hekeshim mas'im. They build comparisons that are fool, that are misleading. Umov say ha-hat-oy, he has very beautiful vocabulary, the Malbim. And they wonders of tilting of deceit. Their logic is deceiving. They mamish krumach minds. They have minds that are totally corrupt. Lahachish es emunois hamitiyos. Elokim asa es ha'adam yashar. Hashem made man glat. Naturally, there's a certain way to approach life. And these philosophers who have invented this school of philosophy have destroyed the mind, have literally destroyed the mind by planting in the mind seeds of corrupt ideas, all for ulterior motives, all to satisfy their taivist lust, and all these crazy things. Tifalateini, Baal Ekoshel v'emoshech achar to'isem, and therefore Hashem, save me from these people. It's very enticing. It's very enticing. One of the Mamar Chazal said about the philosophy, it's all flowers and no fruit. There's just, it's all beautiful, all this philosoph. There's no substance. Hamizuyofos lahakish ikrei huemuna. It would appear after reading yesterday that he's describing the Yavanim. The Yavanim, they were a very cruel society. There was no chesed. It was very similar, their philosophy to Hitler. Survival of the fittest. And people that are weak and poor and can't make a living need to be eliminated. Society is only for the rich and powerful and the successful. And anyone that's weak is just a burden to society, has to be eliminated. They don't understand the concept of chesed, and the philosophy is to poison the mind, all for the agenda of ripping away morals and values of Hashem and family. It's a corrupt type of society, And according to the Malm, that's what David over here is saying, Ashaftein Elkim, Vriva Rivi, save me from these people, Migoy Loi Chosid, from a nation that has no desire to do kindness, Meish Mirma Va'avla Sefalateni, from the philosophers who destroy the mind with corrupt ideas, save me from these wicked people. Okay, we're going to stop it tomorrow. We're going to go on to Mizmar Mem Dalid. New Mizmar tomorrow.